So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
There's a popular concept rolling through the political circles in Chicago and in New York. It's the idea of municipal-owned grocery stores as a way to keep prices low. It's a popular concept because none of these people know what the bleep they're talking about, but they think that a city that can't even keep people alive or safe or protected on the L should be able to run supermarkets. Guess what? I grew up in a family of grocery store owners. My Uncle George and my father worked 50 years. My brother Peter worked, 50 years running a grocery store. It can't be done with these morons who are now in Chicago, like Brandon Johnson wanted a grocery store. And same with a socialist in New York wants to do it. It can't be done. The idea is that corporate grocery stores, privately owned grocery stores, are full of greed, and business owners are full of greed. And if the city, the government, ran a grocery store, it would be so much better. They would take the profit out of the grocery store, and it would be so much better for the people, right? According to the Lenin, like the Lenin playbook. But it has nothing to do with reality. The reality is this is just another in a long line of terrible ideas sprouting from the damaged brain of Brandon Johnson, Mayor 6%. Jeff Carlin is here, as always, executive producer of WGN Radio, my friend, future physics teacher, married to the lovely Christine. And I'm John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. And where are you? As mootzahs are in the making, as Mayor Brandon Johnson digs himself deeper and deeper into a hole, as Tony Preckwinkle pretends not to know him, you're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Did you hear the one about Mayor Johnson and making a fool out of himself? Oh, you've heard that before? Yes. Well, it continues. It's a saga that continues. Now he's taken money from a lawyer who's embroiled in lawsuits against the city. How you doing? Jeff Carlin, is that conflict?
Sounds like conflict to me, John.
Tom Bevan put it on Twitter, and he said, this is so Chicago, and people are like, this is Chicago Way. And I added my own two cents, saying Chicago Way with a TM trademark, because I trademarked it. So what is going on with this, Jeff Carlin?
Well, I mean, it's just more evidence in the Brandon Johnson couldn't manage his way out of a paper bag thon we're living through, which is Just terrible. I mean, this is the guy who, if we're gonna catch everybody up to speed here, mayor 6.6% and falling, to his approval rating, if you're following along at home, is coming up with one more stupid idea after another. And this is the latest revelation that he clearly doesn't understand either ethics or good management or all of the above. And it comes on the heels of this ridiculous thing we kind of alluded to a couple of weeks ago that was percolating. We weren't sure of quite the details on it, but we knew the mayor was trying to claw back 3% from already existing contracts, essentially begging contractors with the city, anybody with a contract in hand who was waiting for a check or got their check, to kick back 3% because they mismanaged the city into an abysmal hole. And how many of those, John? I think the numbers were 1,000 contractors were asked to give back. And as of last week, the week before we taped this, that would have been like the 21st, 20th, 62 vendors have responded that they would, sure, since you asked so nicely.
Are any of those guys, do they pour asphalt for a living?
We don't have confirmation.
Give me the asphalt contractors. How you doing? And let them see if they're going to give back. Or how about the cement contractors? Meanwhile, another thing is happening. Mayor Johnson, the black Lenin with the Lenin sunglasses and the goatee, he's likening himself to the second coming of Harold Washington. We're laying the foundation that Mayor Harold Washington established, Johnson told listeners doing a radio station at WVON AM. Imagine that. Now what's that old,
You were there, John. I mean,
what's that old creepy Democrat? I knew John Kennedy. You're no
what
senator, you're no John Kennedy. What is that? That's I forgot his name, man.
Lloyd Bentsen, right?
Yeah.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Well, Brandon Johnson likens himself to the second coming of Harold Washington. And I was there, and I knew Harold Washington. I knew Clarence McLean. And Brandon Johnson, you're no Harold Washington. What a joke. What a joke.
He's not even close. There wasn't. He wants to make it as like he's some sort of sympathetic figure that we should all, support because he's a teacher and he's black and he's from Chicago, and like that means he can't make mistakes and he can't do better. I mean, I don't know if I'm looking for idols, I don't necessarily want to go backwards. I want to be my own, right? I just want to be like, I'm in the mold of that. I want to move forward and bring the city he does. The guy's not about bringing anybody together. I mean, Harold Washington, John, I wasn't there. I know he wasn't exactly bringing
I was there.
everybody together, but at the very least, everybody had a place at the table.
I remember Harold on the Northwest side, and we're at a Polish group, and he spots, there's a band and everything, and he spots a lady, and he just reaches reaches out, grabs her hand, pulls her onto the dance floor, and begins dancing a polka with her laughing like, oh, mayor, oh, like that, and polka dance,
Oompa Ben, heck yeah.
oompa, whatever. And it was just the guy had nuts. He was confident. He enjoyed himself. He was having fun. And Eddie Verdoliak and Ed Burke also had fun ripping on him. And that was the days when people had fun. Now, what is Brandon Johnson doing? Curling up in a little ball saying, I'm Harold. I'm the second coming of Harold. I don't think so.
Yeah, how many consensus has he gotten so far? none, right? I mean, the guy hasn't gotten anything done that everyone was like, oh, that's a great idea.
For the 13th year in a row, Chicago reigns as the murder capital of the country. What about that, Jeff Carlin?
But I thought it was the crime was going down. He's been touting that they've been doing amazing things to bring crime down because they're doing the community and rebuilding and letting criminals out and then being, you know, soft pats on the back to keep them in line.
For the 13th consecutive year, the city of Chicago once again reigned as the nation's homicide capital in 2024. Ted Dabrowski of Wire Points believes the illness has festered too long.
Yeah, and Ted lays it out. I mean, this is incredible. Listen to these stats. If you go to a place like a Jacksonville where murders are down 50%, you've got places like Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, where its murders are down 30 to 35%. In Chicago, they're down 8%. That's like a blip. That's a statistical anomaly. That's like one shooting at a party didn't happen, right?
Right.
And this is the same guy. This is the same city where the mayor, oh, we're doing the best. It's working. Believe me. Look, it's working. Our catch and release of criminals is making the streets safer, which is impossible to believe. And here, the proof is what it is.
What do you make of all those journals who run to his defense and keep tweeting out that crime rates are low, crime rates are down? Who's saying that shit? Who's talking like that?
John, that was certainly the case leading up to the election that brought us the plague of Brandon Johnson and the CTU running the city into the ground. But it's not, I don't think it's this, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the regular rank and file reporters that we've always, you know, said that, look at them. They're just drinking the tea and spitting it back in our faces. Right. I think it's so bad that even they can't do that. You're not saying that they're running headlines, but they all seemed a little more skeptical, a little more, you know, they might not be running the stories the right way, like CWB does with putting out a story that even says that murders were the murder capital or homicide capital of the country. So there's an editorial choice there, but I think that might come from above. You know, I think the reporters are now having trouble even carrying his water because it's just so stupid, the things he says and the things he does. And it just doesn't pass any. And it's not like these are forced errors. These are things that he's actively, someone's saying, Mayor Johnson, what if we try to claw back 3%? We beg and plead for contractors to give us money back. Okay, that's a good idea. Mayor Johnson, what if you hire a law firm that has lawsuits pending against the city? Do you think there's an issue there? Nah, do it. Mayor Johnson, why don't you hire one of your best friends and then cover up his abuse and alleged harassment within the department? Oh, that's a good idea. Why don't I do that? Like, this is the guy who's just full of bad ideas.
And on top of that, two other things. Tony Preckwinkle, who gave us Mayor Johnson, is running for re-election because, she's 78 years old and she wants another turn.
Right.
And
But even Tony, John, she was asked about it and she said, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in my lane, meaning she didn't want to talk about Brandon Johnson.
She doesn't want to help him.
Yeah. In fact, I think I've got a clip of it here. This is Ben Bradley, WGN, sat down with Tony just after she announced that she was running. And this is my favorite part. I mean, this is how much of a stink is on her own thing. I mean, she built and created Brandon Johnson, the mayor, by her control and ceding control of the Democratic Party, the CTU in Chicago. Listen to this. This is Ben Bradley reporting.
Preckwinkle praises Governor J.B. Pritzker as a good partner, especially during the difficult early days of COVID-19. But as she gears up for re-election, she's keeping her distance from Mayor Brandon Johnson, whom she backed in the 2023 runoff election.
How do you think the mayor's doing?
You know, I try to stay in my lane. I got a lot on my plate in the county.
I mean, and my apology, that wasn't Ben Bradley reporting there. That was Tamon Bradley, the Bradley brothers. I don't think they're actually brothers, but that's how bad it is. I mean, that's just, she won't even stick her neck out for him. And it's not even sticking her neck out. I mean, the election's even close to the day.
What does that mean, though? Translate that into English. I'm staying in my own lane. What does that mean? He's a total moron. I'm sick of the panic attacks. I can't stand him. I'm not going to touch him because he's going to let him fall by himself. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, that translates to she doesn't want her name to pop up next to him anywhere.
Right.
She can avoid it because it's so laughable. I mean, this is the guy who went to Congress and just got laughed out of the city, laughed out of the town. I mean, it's just that he doesn't have anything. And we're faced with this. I mean, the city's hurtling towards financial ruin. You know, there's reports out, CTA and RTA, the transit authorities, are so woefully short on money that if there's not some magical, gold mines found somewhere in Cook County, it's going to go away. They're going to have to cut services. And it really bothers me because everyone's like, oh, just raise the prices on the rent.
Poor people.
Right, yeah. Poor people. People who have to ride the CTA an hour every day. Right. The people who have to go use it and rely on it that much. Not the, tech bros or the Loyola kids or the students. None of those people are going to be severely impacted. And so what? It goes up $2.50 to $4. That's huge. I mean, think about it. And
I'm just thinking, and I'm sorry to generalize, but I'm thinking of a mom, a black mom. The only way she could get to work to feed her family is to take the L at night, walking past muggers, and they're trying to make a living, and they're not being helped by the CTA and City Hall. You've been on this for a long time, yeah. Jeff, where you've asked, where's City Hall to protect them? And no one's protecting them.
There's reporting out a couple weeks ago that there are people who drive a train and are making hundreds of thousands of dollars in overtime every year. Why? Why is that? Why are people who are cleaning trains getting hundreds and hundreds of dollars of overtime every week? Why? The system's broken. This isn't a job. That isn't a job. That's a career. You're not going to make a career out of cleaning trains. There's no growth there. So we shouldn't treat it like a job where someone should have a full lifetime pension and be making six figures. That's just ludicrous that we work that way. We're talking about an entry-level position. That it's unreal that people don't see that. People want to raise the rates. They want to do this. We have two transit authorities with boards and gigantic salaries and oversight that clearly doesn't get anything done and doesn't fix anything. And yet they want the people who are using it to foot the bill again. Raise the rates. Make it a pay-as-you-go system. Pay-as-you-go? Are you kidding me? That's a solution that people are throwing out there. Oh, other cities do it. Are you kidding me? First of all, Chicago is not out of other cities.
Sounds like some idiot dream thought up by the other loser who Rahm Emanuel put in, Dorval Carter.
Oh.
But he's gone. He never even took the CTA. And now this new one? What's her name? Nora Learson. Former chief of staff of Dorval Carter is now the acting president of the agency. What is that? Is that inspire confidence?
If it wasn't on purpose because they have this agenda that's seemingly to give the city back to the soil, I'm assuming, because that's the only thing that makes sense.
You have your bleep button ready? Because I'll explain it. Because they're communists.
Exactly.
Now listen to this. The CTU and the firefighters have issued a solidarity statement. The Chicago firefighters are with the CTU. This is how this thing is collapsing fast. My God.
I know. And it's interesting. We talked about, we talked with a great conversation with Eugene Roy last week, which you haven't caught. You should really check out. Mm-hmm. Great conversation. I look forward to talking to him again. But he kind of, you know, he he laid it out bare for us. You know, the firefighters union has decided to play ball and to get in bed with, you know, CTU and the major unions that control everything. And they're going to get something done, right? It sounds like they're going to get something, but who's going to pay for it? Well, that would be the future. And the police union is not. They're standing their ground for what they believe in. They're not going to, they don't want to kowtow to, you know, a group of communists, like you said, John. And we'll see, but I don't think it's going to come out in the police union's favor. That's.
Listen, that this is, I still don't understand something. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry we don't have Gene Roy here to talk about it, but I think I want to reach out to some other police officers I know because I need to know about this. As Brandon Johnson pretends that he's the son of Harold Washington or some, whatever he thinks he is, what about Yolanda Talley?
Oh, boy.
Tell us a little bit about her. I'm looking at her picture in the CWB website. You know, that we used to have this thing called newspapers covered.
Yeah.
Yolanda Talley, whose Lexus was scooped up during a Chicago Police Department narcotics investigation when she was head of the agency's internal affairs division, has been promoted to first deputy superintendent, making her the highest ranking officer behind Superintendent Larry Snelling. Wait a second. Yolanda Talley's Lexus got jammed up in a drug bust.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter, according to what I'm reading, her niece was in the car, and she threw out a large Ziploc bag containing 84 baggies of suspected heroin from Talley's passenger side window. Street value of the dope, per prosecutors, $6,000. $6,300. Cops stopped the Lexus. I'm quoting from CWB. Cops stopped the Lexus, which was being driven by Talley's niece, who had borrowed the vehicle from the internal affairs chief.
And she did with a suspended license, nonetheless. So we have a cop giving her niece use of her car with a suspended license. And now we're promoting her. She's making great choices.
She said, quote, this is the niece when she gets pulled over by the coppers. My auntie is probably your boss. She told officers as their body cameras rolled, love body cameras now, a warning that they were dealing with someone related to a high-ranking Chicago Police Department officer. And this is the female that is promoted to first deputy superintendent?
Not to mention, John, that the car was not impounded and seized and then sold for value so the city can, you know, make some of that money back that they're losing in the war on drugs and the war on gangs. But it wound up going right back to her somehow. That's so weird.
If your name is Juan Valdez and you're living, you have a beater car and it's you're living on 25th Street, 26th Street, you have no money, you have no protection. Your son gets pinched in a drug bust, you lose your car. You have no way to get to work. But you're not Yolanda Talley's niece, and that's not Yolanda Talley's car. That's unbelievable, right, Jeff?
I know. This is the stuff that we're like, the city, the union, I mean, the CTU, the left in general. Instead of trying to actually solve problems, they look for problems to invent and then solve. And it's driving people out of the city in droves. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. I mean, I know we've had another election coming up, thank God, for mayor. And hopefully we can get things changed. But it's just I'm not hopeful.
Are you going to tell me that Maria Pappas is going to be mayor of the city of Chicago?
No. I don't see that happening. I could not see that happening. I don't think she'd want that job. I don't think she's running. She's got such a good thing going in the treasury.
You know, my son was at my son Peter was at some Greek American event, like for Greek Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran into her, and she's going around to all the tables, you know, of all these young guys who are, you know, young people who are involved in their ethnic mm-hmm. group. And she let it be known that she was thinking about it.
Can we get her on? You want to talk to her? She'll talk to us. No, wouldn't she, Jen? He talks to everybody. That's the joke. For those of you who don't know her.
The thing is, I don't mind her, but I see Maria Pappas running. I see Alexei Janulis, another one. I give him a special nickname, Alexei Polecats Janulis, because his close buddy was Jaws Giorango, the beverage manager. You know what they call him? I saw some Sopranos. The beverage manager of Polecats, the strip club. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all the girls are virtuous, and they're all like, you know.
Right. They're paying their way through nursing school, of course.
Yeah, right. And there we are. And and what about the other? There's Rahm Emanuel wants to make a noise, like he wants to come back in politics after he covered up the police murder of
tried to cover up. He clearly didn't do it.
Oh, he tried. I didn't let it happen.
Yeah, but right.
It became public. And then, wait, we can't miss some other people. What about the rich boy who was beaten up on those pro-life demonstrators?
Oh, yeah.
Poor little guys who were like praying. And here comes Alderman, what's his name?
Conway.
Conway, yeah. Alderman Conway.
Right, yeah.
Another hard ass, yeah.
Well, I don't think Rahm's going to take the. Why would Rahm come back? That's a backwards move, and I don't think Rahm would do that. If anything, I think Rahm's going to step in line for Dick Durbin's seat, because I have a hunch that his health is sliding. Mental health, whatever. He just has not looked good the last few times I've seen him out in public. I mean, he just seems like he's trending towards, you know, aging quickly. And I can't imagine he's having any fun in D.C. right now. And you know Rahm loves a good fight, so I'm assuming Rahm's going to try to pick up that torch and keep running with it. Although I think it would be interesting to see Rahm's inner monologue being the junior senator behind Tammy Duckworth.
But wait, Rahm, she should be kissing Rahm's feet.
Yeah, I know.
He made her. He actually went out and he's like, I need to have somebody run for the office of senator. And he picked her. What were her qualifications? Her long service in government or the fact that she had lost her legs in the war? I think it was the second.
And she's certainly, and she, you know, a female veteran, you know, who's been disabled. Absolutely. I mean, that's a bingo card of politics if you have ever seen one.
Well, it's cynical.
Yeah,
right?
it's cynical, but it's not, you know, that's the way of the biz. I mean, that's how the things work. I mean, that's the same stuff that people were getting cranky about and accusing Rod Blagojevich of doing. But, you know, that's politics. Politics is mass appeal, and, you know, that's how you do it, especially if the winds of whatever are favoring those who are different. Then that's what it is.
If you have a voting base, which are a bunch of stupid bleeping chumbalones,
right,
will buy it, and then you just put your candidate out there and let them dance for the chumbalones, and they say stuff like, "Oh, they're really about they're Greek like me." And they're really caring about about the bottom line. And about
right. We can bring it back to Harold Washington. I mean, Harold Washington showing up for an Oompa band in the Northwest side is very much that. I mean, especially at that time when it was such a huge voting block. So it's not like it's you know, unique in the current day. But, John, I want to run this a little longer. I like that we're in the middle of March Madness, you know, fantasy this, fantasy that. Let's do the fantasy brackets here because we've got some changes that are coming to Illinois. So
let's go.
We got to assume Big Boy's running for president. There's no other place for him to go. The Senate seat doesn't really do it, right? That's not
Big Boy. Who? The fat man? Governor Fat Boy, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, that's your moniker for him. But Governor Big Boy in my book. Because he looks like the big boy, remember?
Give him a tray right, and a little checkered hat.
Yeah. I just put my hand over my head just like, you know, I'm mimicking it right now. But, yeah, so I see him going there. I see Durbin retiring.
Hold it.
Yeah, yeah.
How's he going to deal with the toilets? Because there's a columnist. He writes for John Cass News. And he won't let the voters forget that this guy bought a house next to his own, took out the toilets to make it uninhabitable to give himself a $300,000 property tax break.
But he's already got an answer to that, John.
What?
My wife got caught and took the rap and paid it back. Hey, you know, Dad says he's gonna move past that. I don't think that holds him up, especially on a national
level. All right, keep going.
So this is my fantasy card.
Right.
Okay. And not in the fantasy sense, but just the make-believe sense that JB runs for president. So it'll be JB versus Vance in 2028.
Right.
Yeah, and I think Durbin retires. Rom runs or gets tabbed just because it's a great ally to have. Because if JB's going to want to go to D.C., he's going to want a powerful ally in the Senate. And I think that opens up things here. And I think just Giannoulias runs for governor because he's had a very strong, you know, his history aside, he's had a very strong showing publicly in the world of public opinion.
Who's Alexei going to make Attorney General or head of the state police? Is that Josh Giorengo, state police, or somebody else?
I think Kwame Sticks is AG.
Oh God, another
failure. Susana Mendoza, I think, becomes your hot ticket for mayor.
Now you know Susana Mendoza. I have problems with her, but she's got butts. She's got butts.
She does.
She fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whoever it is, after Kirkwinkle and Johnson have destroyed City Hall, what's the point?
Well, right. Be standing on a pile of ashes and working it. But neither here nor there. John, I think we can put some of our politics to bed for today on the Chicago way.
Cause I need to go to one thing before we go away.
Sure.
And that is there's a new movie coming that I got to see it. Have you heard about this called The Amateur, an upcoming American vigilante spy thriller film? That's all I need to hear. And I've seen it. I've seen an earlier version of this years ago. It would star John Savage. You remember the fellow who was locked in the rat cage in Apocalypse Now? Not Apocalypse Now. What was the Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
What was that movie? The Vietnam movie.
Right.
I remember it because they were Orthodox and they went out to
Deer Hunter.
The Deer Hunter, yeah. This one, well, John Savage was the fellow who played this role years ago. Now, Charles Heller, a CIA cryptographer, loses his wife in a London terrorist attack and realizes his bosses will not act due to their conflicting internal priorities. So he blackmails the agency to trade him as a field operative and embarks on a one-man mission to hunt down his wife's killers. Isn't that perfect for pre-Easter?
I'm not sure.
Nothing like revenge and blood and stuff.
Well, John, we are hurtling towards the end of the month, so I will put that on my list for checking out. Because
speaking of which,
yeah,
there's something about what happens at the end of the month. Oh yeah, Mutsa, you had a Mutsa.
I have a nominee for Mutsa, and I think this would go a long way for you, John, to show people that you are open to all things. You know, you're not going to just shut down an idea that's critical of, say, the Trump administration just because it's critical of the Trump administration.
And
I would say that you should nominate Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, because it's come out just before we were taping this that about 2 hours before, 4 hours actually before the launched attack on Yemen to Yemeni soil, rather, to take out Houthi rebels who have been making that region a nightmare for pretty much everybody. He accidentally texted those plans to a reporter for The Atlantic, like everything, like munition sizes, yeah, weapons packages.
Oh yeah. My God, I'm looking at it now. Top secret military tax plans were accidentally sent to a reporter hours before they were carried out.
Yep.
According to a report published Monday, high-level Trump administration officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, discussed the plans in a group chat on the messaging app Signal. They accidentally included Jeffrey Goldberg, left-winger, editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, in the chat. I didn't think it could be real. Then the bomb started falling, Goldberg wrote. Oh, my God.
I know.
Take the phone away from the defense secretary.
Right. Yeah, I got to assume that he's going to learn from this pretty quick. I like to hope. We don't want to make
Make your nomination. Let's do an official nomination. How would you nominate him? What are the magic words that you...
Vise nach.
Vise and nach. Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Blow on it. My God, that's stupid. Oh, my God. The chief of staff should resign. His chief of staff should resign.
Right.
Or I like J.D. Vance. I like Hegseth. But you know what? That can't be taught.
Serious job. Needs serious responsibility. I mean, serious action. So,
right. Grow the bleep up.
Or do it like the president does. And if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, it's on the phone or it's in person. There's no email. There's no text messages. There's none of that. I mean, I don't necessarily see eye to eye or with Trump on a lot of things, but I'm kind of with him on the we need less technology in front of our faces every day. But you know that ship's probably sailed.
Wait, grow the bleep up, Secretary of Defense.
Exactly. Handle your business.
Handle your business.
Exactly. I think we can leave it there, John. I know you're open for as we get close out the month. You know, we've got another week here.
I'm always looking for good. Oh my God.
Skullduggery. Good
nominations. Thank you. So for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend, future physics teacher, and me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Hope you subscribe. $5 a month, better yet, $50 a year or discounted for a good cup of common sense. Join us again next time, won't you, on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.